Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word. First Epistle of John, chapter 3. We're going to pick it up here in verse 23 in a moment. What a fantastic chapter this third chapter is. Letting you know who Cain's father was in the 12th verse. He's of his father, the wicked one, which is to say the devil. That's the reason he slew his brother. And all the wonderful things that are brought forth in this particular chapter, letting you know in the 15th verse that a murderer cannot have forgiveness in the flesh. That's to say somebody that commits funyance in the Greek, which is to say a criminal homicide, you got to send them to the Father. And maybe they'll find forgiveness there, maybe they won't. But that's their Father's business. He's the judge of judges. So what a fantastic, naturally, as it is written in Deuteronomy 28 and Numbers 35, capital punishment is required by Almighty God for fainéants, which is to say criminal homicide. That's not somebody killing somebody over a crime of passion or something else. It means one that is just simply a wicked, wicked person that takes a life. But what a fantastic chapter in knowledge and information. Let's pick it up, if we may, in verse 23 and complete the chapter. Verse 23, but that word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads, "And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment." That is a commandment. And, you know, many people think they don't know what love is. Okay, there's love, which is kinship. There is tough love, which is real love in a sense. And a lot of people do not understand tough love being correcting people. And it is a commandment that you love one another, and you may have somebody that's pretty ornery that you can't really get along with. Then if it's a brother, you want to think enough of him that you can reach out and practice a little tough love and give him an attitude adjustment. That's what real love is. Don't just let somebody go to the dogs without trying to pull them out. There is such a thing as a person, that a brother that you cannot help. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 tells you, beginning along about with verse 6 through 10, tells you what to do with them. Verse 24 to continue. "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." And of course, that is the Holy Spirit. When this word abideth and dwelleth is meno. It's the same word in St. John chapter 14 that's translated mansion. There's a mansion waiting for you in the sky, and people don't understand that simply is to dwell with God. The word in the Greek meno means a resting place. The only rest you're going to find on this earth is in Christ. That brings you peace of mind and understanding, whereby you can basically deal with any situation that might come up in your life. Trust him, obey him, you will always have that way out, and he will never allow you to be tempted over what you can handle. You want documentation on that? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 will do it real good for you. There's nothing going to happen to you that isn't pretty common to happen to everybody else. And God will never allow you to be tested over what you can handle. And he will always, guaranteed, he will always show you a way out. Chapter 4, and here we come to a chapter that it may offend some people. But this sets a Christian aside. And it's the reason we call ourselves Christ men, which is to say Christian. Chapter 4, verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Well, how can I tell? It's real simple. Why, how do you try a spirit? Well, let's read it. Verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. This is how you tell. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Psalms 22 documented 1,000 years before the fact that he would come in the flesh and exactly what would happen to him. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, what happened there? A virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and you will call him Emmanuel, meaning Christ is coming. But when he came, many didn't believe him, didn't believe it was Messiah, though the scripture over and over and over documented. And you either have him, or guess what? Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. That's instead of Christ, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. And so it is, this cosmos. Anytime you will have people that will say, there's no such thing as God. Then this puts them, you know, you can almost see the spiritual smoke already rising from them. They're doomed, okay. But, well, you don't understand, brother. You don't understand the theory of evolution. Oh, I think I understand it real good. If evolution were to be a fact, an actuality, it would have to be eternal. Meaning you would have to have specimens of every dimension from amoeba all the way up through your so-called beginning to walk up to whatever. You would have to have all types of half finished this and half finished that and unfinished this and unfinished that. So it's not possible, because there is nothing. The only thing that one can consider is that flesh adapts to its environment as best it can, and it conditions itself to the environment. And that's about as far as man will go, as far as changing with times, seasons, and events. We're exactly as God created us. And so it is, just as the only begotten came, as Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 guaranteed. And it came to pass, even to the date, as mentioned in Daniel, that it would come to pass. And if a person misses that, well, I'm sorry, you missed the boat. Let's go with the next verse. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's in the world? Satan is. It's his hour and his point. God gives you power over Satan or anything that he should want to do. Do you know something? You might say, well, I'm just a mortal human being. Okay, well, you know, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 6, I think I'm going to turn there. We're going to just take just a moment, go there. Matthew chapter 10, verse 6, and make it verse 16. And this is what it says. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. That's what this world is like. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, how do you accomplish that? Well, when God gives you something, you look at the analogy and discuss it, think about it. When a lamb or a sheep goes forth, what do they have to protect themselves with? Actually, nothing. I mean, the only protection that a lamb or a sheep has is their shepherd. And bingo, there you have it. You know, when you utilize common sense And when you are wiser than the serpent, and you know, when God sent you a letter telling you exactly what Satan would be doing and trying to accomplish, and that as it is written in the great book of Luke, that he would give you power over all of your enemies if you believed upon him, then you would be in kind of sad shape if you didn't understand that that shepherd is there with that staff to correct anything, as long as you're wiser. You don't go out playing dummy, you know. But as long as you're wiser than the serpent and you exercise authority, you have a guardian, and that guardian is the shepherd himself, and he will not send you out without that protection, as long as you what? As long as you believe. You got to believe in him, and you got to know he's real. And boy, is he ever real. He's real enough that if you believe and if you love, he's in you. It's called the Holy Spirit, and he dwells there. That's what this word, why this word meno, abides, dwells in you, is so very important. It brings you rest. It brings you peace of mind. Verse 5 to continue. They are of the world. They think as the world would think, street smarts. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. The street smarts and getting along in the world, and it's good to know and be street smart, but at the same time, be spiritually smart to overcome. Verse 6. We are of God. Why? Because we believe God's word. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It's really very simple. Many times when you go out to share truth and people shut you off, guess what? Have you ever read this verse? They can't hear you. You're speaking a different language. You're talking about something that is totally different. It's out of their realm of thinking, because they think in the world instead of with our Father, knowing he's in control and knowing there is a far greater power than Satan who has power on this earth today. And it's none other than your Father, your family. Don't ever give up family ties. They are ever so very important. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. They have ears to hear, they have eyes to see, and they can understand, they can comprehend, and how beautiful it is. Again, I want to reiterate about tough love. So many Christians, they get on these goody-goody two-shoes, and they think, well, if you offend someone, if somebody deserves an attitude adjustment, you may have to offend them a little bit to get their attention. And if you love them, you want to assist them and help them, at least planting a seed and giving that opportunity. And then if they choose to follow the other path, then cut them free. That's fine. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's the way it is. He loved us enough that he gave us his only begotten Son, which meant that God himself came to this earth, Emmanuel, God with us, to show us how to get it done, and how to get it done right, not just part way, but to flourish and to overcome and to have that healing, loving presence that God himself brings. Why? Because he does. You know, God created every soul for his pleasure. You can document that in Revelation chapter 4, last verse. And why? Well, if for pleasure, what? Have you given him pleasure lately? Have you told him you love him? Have you studied the letter that he sent to you, a letter of love, to try to gain knowledge and wisdom and understanding whereby he could touch you? Or do you just drift around in the world, in the ways of the world? That's pretty short-lived, my friend, because if you love the Father, then you have eternal life. And when this earth is cleansed, it's going to be a far greater, better place. When the firmament is placed back as it was, how wonderful it's going to be. Are you going to be there? You might think about it. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. I mean, it actually became a fact. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, that we could see the light, that we could live through him, not just live day to day, but live eternally, to gain eternal life from beginning to end, to be in the Father, with the Father, and have that guidance. You know, it is promised that there, God will never let anything short that light between he and thee as long as you ask for it. You want me to say that again? God has promised us, he is the Father of light, and he will never allow any shadow to come between him and you. As long as you look to him, he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. Let that light guide your life. Let his knowledge permeate your very soul, whereby you find that happiness and peace of mind that brings rest. And not only rest now, but rest eternally. Verse 10, herein is love. You want to hear it described? Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the atonement for our sins. You know, he knew that we're weak. He knew that we fall short. He knew that we would sin. And he showed us how to overcome that sin really by believing and by that blood that was shed on the cross. And God showing us that Emmanuel, God with us, that he was perfect, we're not. And he knew that. Therefore, he loved us enough that he gave himself, that on believing and loving him and asking for that forgiveness, that you could have that rest, that peace of mind, to know and to understand that you're going to receive his blessings, that that light's going to be there for you. And that light, that Father of lights, and I'm quoting James chapter 1, verse 17. It's always there for you. He says, not like the sundial that a shadow will come in. I'm not going to let a shadow hit you. He's always there for you. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. It's family. It's the children of God. Verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. There's that word again, mani, in the Greek tongue. Mansion, resting place. His dwelling in you is rest. And his love is perfected in us. His love perfects you. His love touches you. It strengthens you. You know, knowledge and understanding are fantastic traits of a Christian, a Christ man, because they know that that light, that connection, that's like being plugged into the main circuit, that you have that power of love, of authority, that you have the ear of God when you think and need help. He's there for you. Why? Because he loves you. And not only that, the closeness is moni. He dwells in you through the Holy Spirit. That was his promise before he ascended back to heaven, was to wait at Jerusalem till you receive that will come, which was the Comforter, which is to say the Holy Spirit. Verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him. It's a fact. And he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. That's a gift. Given meaning no gratuity, just a gift. from him for your love, for your believing. That's it, and it is that free gift. Gift in the Greek is charisma or chariz. And that brings about charisma. And if somebody has that charisma from God, you can see it. The gift from God, that love, that understanding. 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. End of story. I mean, period, that's it. All wrapped up in one verse. God saw fit to send that Son, Emmanuel, God with us. He did not hold back. If you ever want to know the feelings of your Heavenly Father as far as the cross is concerned, you want to make a note of Hebrews chapter 2, begin reading with about verse 14, and it gives you the reason he even came to this earth. He came to this earth because of the katabo from the first earth age that through the cross he could destroy death, which is to say the devil. That's why he came here. And it goes on to say he did not ask you to be born in the flesh when he would refuse himself. He himself was born in the flesh. Only we fall short. He did not. He showed us the way. And through even doing that, by sending that Savior means he saved the world that would believe upon him, that would love him. That salvation is there as a free gift. It's not free, it cost him an awesome price. But he never complained about paying it. He didn't say, well, let's put this off for another day or two, or let me think about this. It went down exactly as it was written it would 1,000 years before the cross, the nailing on the cross, that it would be written, he would be nailed to that cross, his arm stretched from socket because of being crucified, even down to the Roman soldiers gambling for his clothing in Psalms 22, verse 22. How fantastic our Father's prophecy comes to pass exactly as it's written. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. There's that word again, mention, and he in God. Many might say, well, what do I have to do to receive God? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. That's what you do. You believe and become a believer of the fact that it is testified to, and the actual fact that he that was promised came and brought that salvation, which is there for you if you wish to participate. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You know, this is a wonderful thing, and it's too bad that, I feel I'm repeating myself, but I feel it's necessary because so many Christians take that love and they think, I can't offend anyone, I can't even wiggle. And that's not true at all. God made you an energetic believer sent to help others, and to help others' attitudes must be adjusted. And this is why when Christ would teach truth, there would be some people very offended to the point they wanted to crucify him. Even today, if you teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, it will offend some. But never apologize for the word of God, and never give way. When it comes to teaching truth, truth is truth. It cannot be altered. In the simplicity in which Christ himself brought it forth, the only begotten, that it is truth and it is real and it is love. It's love that you can count on, love that you can depend on. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And love within us has perfected us, okay? We don't perfect it, it perfects us when you let that love of God dwell within you. And you study the record that he has sent, the instructions. You know, many people fail, they can order some little part or some little table or something. They're not gonna read the instructions. They're gonna jump around and put this piece here and that piece there and jumble it up. And finally they got one piece left over and they realized that should have been the first thing. They didn't read the instructions. Well, your father sent you, born a babe, innocent. And he sent along a set of instructions. That set of instructions is this word of God that tells you how to succeed, how to find that happiness, that love of God, and how to have God himself dwell in your heart, his spirit, the comforter, and lead you and guide you and direct you, never leaving you alone. That, my friend, is true love, and that's love made perfect. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. In other words, fear shows weakness. Fear shows lack of faith. Comes from worry even. You know, to worry is to doubt every promise of God. And when you truly are in tune with our Heavenly Father, and that Comforter is with you, his name is exactly as it is stated in the English tongue. Comforter is to be comforted by the presence of Almighty God, dispelling any fear in this world that might come upon you. You know, a coward dies 1,000 deaths. A brave man's only gonna die one time. But how is that? Well, fear. And you can't let fear enter your life. By this I mean to control your life. You cannot let fear, if you are making decisions based on fear, then you're hurting yourself. You make decisions based on the word of God and to be God-led, but not through fear. Carefulness, wisdom, absolutely. But fear, no way. Because fear will always bring forth torment, and unfortunately, it hurts you. It is impossible to have fear in your heart and still at the same time say you're comforted by God and have him with you. It won't fit. It will not fly, because fear is not made perfect in love. Why? It can't be. You got to get rid of it. Well, how do I do that? By loving God. Talk to him. As he talks to you, you talk to him. It's called prayer. And it overcomes much weakness and doubts and gives you assurance of a certainty that God is with you. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Well, how do we know that? Well, that's why he created you in the beginning. That's why your DNA is different than anyone else's. That's why your fingerprints are different than anyone else's. You're unique. He wanted someone just like you. And you're made in the perfect image today of what you were in the first earth age. I know that offends some because of their ignorance of the manuscripts, but be that as it may, it's time for truth to prevail. And that's why he first loved you, because he created you just like you are. But he does want you to love him. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, How can he love God whom he hath not seen? And so it is. You know, with our Father being in a different dimension, whereby until you pass from this flesh body, you're not going to be able to see him. And yet he dwells in you spiritually. But how precious it is that our Father touches and can cause you. You might say, well, do I not show love for my brother if I put him away from me? No, that's why I gave you a scripture a moment ago on 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 6. If a brother will not adhere to anything concerning our Father, you or your family, then you are to put him to one side and not treat him as an enemy, but as a brother, exhorting. That means correcting, letting him know exactly why, with no ifs, ands, or buts, why you have put him to one side and want nothing to do with him until, it says don't even feed him in verse 10 of that same chapter. Don't be an enabler to one that is so obstinate. Sometimes you let them go to the devil and the devil can straighten them out. He'll take them down so low they'll finally, as the prodigal son, want to crawl back home. And so it is. But that is true love. Is you may have to love a brother enough that you have to put him to the side. But don't stop loving him and treating him as an enemy. Just understand that flesh is weak. And sometimes people are weak. I find it comforting if something like that comes along, but by the grace of God, there go I, and you don't want to be in that position because God has given you more intelligence than that. God has given you more comfort than that, whereby you have God's love in you, around you, and through you. And don't worry, others can see that. It's important that you love our Heavenly Father. All right, don't miss the next lecture. Bless your hearts. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We don't judge people. Father is the judge totally. Just teach God's word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and let the chips fall wherever they may. Never, never apologize for the word of God. Now, those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always wonderful to hear from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. You got a prayer request now? You don't need a number. You don't need an address. You know why? God knows what you're thinking. He is the cardio knower. He knows your heart. You don't even have to say it out loud. You never have to pray out loud. Therefore, no one ever knows whether you're praying or not, unless you do pray audibly. So let him know that you love him, because certainly, indeed, he does love you. So around the world, let's go to his altar. Father, we come to you. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen, amen. Our Father is so very good to us. He does hear our prayers. It is a guarantee. Okay, let's go with some questions. Jesse from Tennessee, where can I find the scripture, "As for me and my house, we will follow the Lord"? Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, where Joshua was dressing down the troops, okay? He said, you can do whatever you want to, but as far as me and my house, we're following the Lord. Chapter 24, verse 15. Carolyn from Canada. When everyone's flesh body is shed and we are put on the spiritual, we have put on the spiritual body, will the unsaved people stay here on earth to learn in the millennium, or will they be sent to the wrong side of the gulf, and will only the ones who died go to the other side of the gulf? You got to remember, the gulf, paradise, has two sides. That's just that simple. And when the millennium comes, it's for a purpose. This, it's the fact that those that did not overcome, and include also within that group, as it is written in Romans chapter 11, God said, there's some that I'm going to put the spirit of stupor. It says slumber in the English, but the Greek is stupor. And you can look at them and tell they're in a stupor. They have no conception. You couldn't penetrate that stupor if you tried. Why? Because God placed it there. But they will be taught in the millennium. This has to do with God's love for his children, because some people just do not have the courage to stand against the false Messiah. They're not false enough. They haven't got the faith to stand against, to do as it is written in Mark chapter 13, that you're to stand against the Antichrist when he comes. That means Satan playing the role of Jesus. That happens at the sixth trump. The true Christ doesn't return until the seventh. Will they realize that the change of bodies, that their beliefs were wrong? You bet they will. They won't. When you die and you end up, read Luke chapter 16, the parable of an actual two people, but it is a parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Stella from Georgia, can you explain who was God talking to in the book of Genesis when he said, let us make man in my own image? He did not say my own image. You're incorrect. You need to go back and read it again. He said, let us make man in our image. You were there, and you are in the exact image you were in the spiritual body, only now in flesh. Period. That's who he was talking to. Us. Because we were there and now we're here. This is why in St. John chapter 3, you need to understand the Greek just a little bit. That's why I recommend you have a Strong's Concordance so the English reader can translate back to the original languages without any big step. This doesn't say born again. That is not scriptural, to be born again. Now I know that shakes some people up, but it's to be born from above, meaning you were with God, you came from God into these flesh bodies, period. Rashad from North Carolina. In Revelations 21 and 22 chapters, it talks of two heavens, a new heaven coming out, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. What is the new Jerusalem? Is it just for the Israelites, or is it for everybody? Who will be in the new heaven? And were the giants created by the... Where were the giants created? In Genesis chapter 6, concerning the giants. Geber in the Hebrew tongue. There's no such thing as two heavens. Okay. It's when... this is why you need, to, again, the Strong's Concordance. Take 2 Peter chapter 3. First, second, and third heavens. Only the word is eons, meaning heaven age 1, heaven age 2, and heaven age 3. Same way with earth. Earth age 1, earth age 2, earth age 3. But just one earth. And when you mention a new earth, the word in the Greek in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, is this earth is rejuvenated. The firmament goes back where it originally was, and the earth is put back in the same shape as that it was, and it was a beautiful place. This is why we find mammoths frozen in the tundra in Alaska with buttercups in their mouth. Buttercups don't grow there. But they did before the catabole, before the overthrow. And so it is. The earth is a beautiful place. Don from when it's in its original state. Don from Florida, where in the Bible do we need to go to show our family members that we need to honor our mother? Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor thy mother and father if you want to have long life. It's the first prophecy in God's word that guarantees longevity in loving them. You may not love what they do, but you can love them because if it weren't for them, we wouldn't have you here. Monica from Illinois. Pastor Murray, if someone died from a drug overdose and they were not saved prior, will that person go to heaven? We don't judge, and you're not to judge. God is the judge. Now, there are many things that, was this person ill? Was there a toxic imbalance here? Was he, I'll say it, off balance a little bit? See, we don't know those things, but God does. And that's why that judgment must always be left in his hands. And it is not right that man should try to judge. You know, if you ever go to a funeral and some preacher says, well, this person surely has gone to hell or this, that, you know, he's judging. So you can just, kind of scratch him off because he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm not judging him, that's just a fact, okay? Kay from Indiana. Is it wrong or sinful to be cremated? Absolutely not. In this generation, funerals can be very expensive. It is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, to be absent from this flesh body is to be present with the Lord, meaning, as it is written in 1 Corinthians 15, you got two bodies. You have these flesh bodies, but inside you have a spiritual body. It's the image you were before you were created in the flesh. And instantly you step out of this flesh body into the spiritual body and return to the Father that gave it, because to be absent from here is to be with him there. Another documentation is Ecclesiastes, which tells you it's written to the man that walks under the sun, meaning it tells you how to get along in these flesh bodies and find success and happiness, how to think even in these flesh bodies. It tells you in chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, that instantly when this old clay pot breaks and the silver cord parts, meaning you die, instantly your spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, being your soul, returns to the Father that gave it, and this body goes back to dust. It doesn't matter how it gets there. Therefore, there is no sin in being cremated. Gene from Tennessee, my question is, you were not wrong in anointing the child. That's blessed. You're blessed for having done it. No problem. Melissa from Louisiana, where is the quote in the Bible, even the gainsayers will be convinced by your answers when the elect is brought up before the Antichrist? Luke 21:15. It's gainsayers, okay? But when the Holy Spirit, why? Because it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you when you're delivered up before the Antichrist. And what is said is clarity beyond any doubt. And that's the way the real truth spreads over the whole world at that time. Alex from Florida. For the life of me, I can't find how you get 5.5 months from Satan's time here on earth. I have read exactly where you said, plus over and over. Where you're wrong, I didn't say 5.5. Do you know why I didn't say 5.5? Because the Bible doesn't say 5.5. What does it say? Go back and read Revelation 9 again. It's 5 months. Not only that is, and God gives you Satan's name both in the Greek and the Hebrew so that you can't miss it. Apollyon and Abaddon, same thing, means the destroyer, Satan. Has 5 months and is through the time of the locust. And you know something? The locusts, when they go through that specific phase, it's a 5-month period, and it's May through September. Okay, so God doesn't leave us wanting. I think where you got off probably is if you split 5 months in half, you got 2.5 months, and I do that sometimes. The 7-year period was shortened to 5 months. Why? Well, Jesus tells you in Mark chapter 13, for the elect's sake, he shortened the days or no flesh would be saved. That's how convincing Satan can be. So I think that's where you picked up the half month. Okay, drop the half month and you'll hit it again, you'll do fine. Nick from California. Were dinosaurs with us in the first earth age? Absolutely. We were in spiritual bodies, they were in flesh bodies. They roamed this earth before the overthrow, which means this earth, according to God's word, if you read it in the Hebrew manuscripts, the earth was created to be inhabited, not destroyed. The earth was destroyed when Satan rebelled, and many of God's children were deceived by him. And so God had a choice. He could destroy a third of his children, Hebrews, Revelation chapter 12, or he could destroy the earth age and cause them to be flesh and innocent of woman born and make his or her mind up whether they would love God or Satan. Your choice. That's God's plan. And then he created the plan of salvation where one that loves him can survive eternally. Linda from Louisiana, if one is God's elect, are they always in the temple of God before his throne? Can they ever go out of the throne room and visit with their family or also in heaven with them? Are they already, with them already saved? Would my family in heaven be split up since in the throne room? Well, who knows? You know, God is judge. Some of them may make it and some of them may not. But what did God say in Ezekiel chapter 44 in the Millennium Temple? You're getting yourself, the truth sets you free. It doesn't bind you up. You're letting the truth lock you up here like you're bound and determined. You can't go anywhere. What does it say? When the allotments of land, which is what your subject is, were distributed, God would state in Ezekiel chapter 44, following verse 25, hey, when it comes to the Zadok, that means the elect, okay? It means the upright, the just. When it comes to them, don't give them any inheritance. This is those that stand against the false Christ. Don't give them any allotment of land as an inheritance because I am their inheritance, meaning we inherit God. And God owns everything, and you can go wherever you want to. Okay, why? Because it's owned. That's the privilege. It sets you free. It doesn't bind you up. Sue from California. My daughter passed away last year. She was 26. Is she with the Lord in the grave waiting for resurrection? Hon, your daughter is with our Heavenly Father. To be absent, as I stated earlier in a question, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. You make a note of it. I want you to read it for yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. And I want you to also to make a note of Ecclesiastes from the Old Testament, chapter 12, verses 6, 7, and 8, and read them carefully. And no, your daughter is with our Heavenly Father. And sorry for your loss, but we can rejoice because she's there, okay? Brent from Louisiana. What denomination is Shepherd's Chapel affiliated with? We are, you know, a denomination means they're divided. We're not divided. We're Bible teachers. We have no affiliation with any biblical group. Our only affiliation is the Word of God and all that enjoy it, okay, period. It would seem that denominations take on a religion all of their own if you're not careful. Labels. T. teach God's word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, period. Brenda from Iowa, I might further add, we're quite popular around the world, and there are little things popping up saying we're with Shepherd. There isn't, if somebody says they're from Shepherd's Chapel, or with Shepherd's Chapel, or a branch of Shepherd's Chapel, they're lying. We do not have any branches. There's only one Shepherd's Chapel. We have only one web page, and it is our official web page. And any other thing that is said, we have nothing to do with, and are free from it. Never tie yourself to somebody else's wagon, okay? Be free in teaching God's word. Brenda from Iowa. My son wants to know who wrote the Bible. Well, God did. God spoke to many people and they penned or scribed the word. But God himself wrote the very word of God itself. Otherwise, we could not even call it the word of God. God spoke, man wrote. Joseph from South Carolina. Where in the Bible does it say that no one is on this earth who wasn't in heaven first? Well, we quoted it. What did God say? Let us create man in our image. So there is nobody here that wasn't there in that image, or they wouldn't be here either. Well, how can you be sure of that? Because God is the giver of all life. Satan would like to be, but he's a miserable flop. You see, God even created him. He was a cherubim in the beginning, created by Almighty God. So even he must give way to that truth. You can read it in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 through 19. He's the king of Tyrus. Tyrus in the Hebrew tongue means rock, fake rock, cherubim that was the covering cherub that was supposed to protect the mercy seat, but which has a messiah connotation, only he took it over. Wilson from Florida. What is the difference between the soul and the spirit, and how are they connected with our lives? Well, I like to translate soul as yourself, regardless of what body you're in. It's your being, yourself. Your spirit is your intellect. It's your thought process. Okay, you can have a bad spirit or a good spirit. Absolutely. A person with a bad spirit can take that spirit and use it to deceive people, to mislead people, or simply to take advantage of people. But a person with a good heart and mind, their spirit will always guide, it will be helpful, and a joy to be around. And then, well, how could we do that? Well, in today's lecture, if you have somebody with a good spirit, then Christ dwells there also. Our Heavenly Father dwells there also. That's why it's a pleasure to be around them. But this also goes into the heavenlies. Our Father has the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's God's spirit. But then Satan also has a spirit. It's a demonic spirit, an evil, wicked spirit. It's very real also. Kenny from Wisconsin. I wrote before about my wife. She passed away April and 70 years old with Alzheimer's, I think. I would like to know, will she remember being on earth, and will she know what is going on, what I'm going through? I know you miss her, and you know she's fine. You've heard me make the statement earlier that to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. She's there, and she's happy, and she will not forget you. You can count on that. Charles from Oklahoma. I have a friend who recently lost his wife, and I wanted to know what scriptures would explain to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. This is coming up several times today. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8. I found 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 8. But is there any more documentation? Well, there's lots of it. Okay, but probably the easiest for a non-believer would be Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Lois from Texas, where in the Bible does God say, read what I have promised you? Well, that's, you're misquoting it a little bit. You're thinking about Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26. What does Isaiah 43, 26 says? Your father's talking to you. He said, hey, remind me of the promises I've made. Not that he needs your reminder. He wants to know if you've read it. Remind me of what I have promised. Let's talk about it so I can justify you. That's a very important scripture. And that is Father just really putting right down where the rubber meets the road. He's telling you, I've made a lot of promises. And if you want to collect on them, you better have read them and you had better claim them. Or I'm not talking with you about them. Okay? That's just the way it is. And our Father, he loves you, but he loves discipline also. And you must discipline yourself in his word. I'm out of time again. Hey, you know what? I love you all because you enjoy studying God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. He truly does. Makes his day. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. You can count on it. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. He will always bless you. That's the way our Father is. Do you know what? He loves you. And when you study the letter he sent to you, it expands that love. You can feel it. And when he touches you. And most of all this, you stay in his word every day, and his word's a good day, even with trouble. Know why? Jesus is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.